first item we'll take up, the quorum being present, the presence of Senator Victor Fisher, Senator Moss, and the chair, is Senate Bill 346, Mental Health Commitment Law. I understand, Doctor, you have another appointment, and this concerned a technical matter, as I understand. Public technical.
There are two matters that I wanted to take up with the committee today. One is a change in a situation where an individual who's a minor can only be at the API for 21 days on an involuntary, at which time, at which time it has to be converted to an involuntary, or else the individual has to leave the hospital. And this ties the hands of the concerned individuals surrounding the problem quite significantly. I brought with a letter from Commissioner Smith requesting a revision of that. And all it says is that we would like to have a situation where a minor could stay in the hospital on a voluntary that would be renewed every 30 days. And it's essentially a technical issue that has significant consequences.
Let me ask this, if I understand this correctly, this would allow sequential 30-day requests by the parent or guardian. There is some concern, though, that the in a few cases, the parent or guardian might use that procedure as a kind of dumping ground to get Junior out of the house. I realize that probably would not occur without, could not occur without professional involvement, which is unlikely, but
yeah, we wouldn't allow that.
What kind of reassurances are there to people who are concerned about the rights of children in a situation where the parent can't control the child and wants the child to be out of his or her life?
Well, the situation in the hospital precludes that from happening because we just don't have any room to house problem children. And professionalism and space requirements would preclude that as a possibility. There is nobody at the API who would sign anybody into the hospital for a reason like that. It's just totally out of the question.
You had a matter to
decide. Okay, and the other is on page 5 of the Senate Bill number 346, line 9, 10, 11, 12. There's a change proposed there that a person taken into custody would not be placed in the jail for other than protective custody purposes and only while awaiting transportation to a treatment facility. And although we agree fully in principle that mental patients should not be incarcerated in a prison situation, there are some circumstances which would be to the advantage of the individual and the family should that provision remain as it stands and there would not be a revision. For example, if in a local situation the hospital where the patient would be treated is full, or if the patient's mental status is disrupted to the point of the hospital not being able to handle that clinical situation, if the individual were placed in the local jail, did not want to go to the API, the family didn't want it to go to the API, the examination evaluation could be done right there, and conceivably the individual would be released without having to make a trip to Anchorage. And if this was changed, then that situation would not be possible.
In your position paper, you addressed this,
yeah,
saying that you recommend that the amendment be deleted in the existing language, which is the bracketed language.
That's right.
You retain.
There's another situation where, say, the hospital is full and or the patient is disruptive, the individual is in jail and the town is weathered in. At that time, the time that's spent in prison until the plane can get that individual out could be spent doing the examination and the evaluation, and conceivably the individual would be released. So that is as negative as it is, out of context. Within context, at times it's the better of two negative worlds, and we would choose to have that liberty. And the question of us would be, is it abused when we have that option? And I don't know that it is. I have no information that we have abuse. of that choice. It has consequences from time to time. For the individuals involved, it'd be quite significant.
Any questions, Senator Moss? Thank you, Dr. Shapiro. I think that we'll put this legislation to the bottom of our agenda now, and it is likely that I will take the materials with me over the weekend and we'll act on it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now, the next matter is the student loan program, Senate Bill 362. Mr. Rumsberg, Dr. Rumsberg.
Thank you. I'm Gary Rumsberg, Director of the Commission on Post-Secondary Education. This last year, we had an interesting thing occur. There's a part of the segment of the student loan bill here that's in the definition section that, quite honestly, we had ignored for a long time and been operating under a different assumption, and that is that if a student enrolls in more than one institution, we allow the institution that's granting the degree to decide whether or not they're going to accept the credits from the other institution and add them up to be a full-time student. Last year, Senator Katula had a constituent in which was doing this, and someone referred to the law and found out that in the law it has said for many, many years that those two institutions have to have a consortium agreement before such a thing can occur. And Senator Katula, and certainly I agree that that's an unnecessary burden. If the institutions agree that they're willing to accept the credits from another institution, we shouldn't force them to enter into some type of a formal consortium agreement. All this bill does is remove that language requiring the consortium. There's no fiscal impact because it will have it will change nothing in terms of requiring any additional resources.
Specifically, is there a consortium agreement between Alaska Pacific University and UAA?
No. In fact, there's no consortium agreement relating to student loans in any case other than UAA ACC, and that's not a consortium agreement, but they do have something in writing that they could qualify. They're the only institutions that exist that have such an agreement.
So this would allow you to muster your credits as between the two institutions I mentioned.
That's right.
Does this create any kind of management problem in making sure, I mean, who certifies that there is a total of the necessary semester hours when neither institution has direct experience with that fact?
Well, the interesting thing, Senator, is we've been operating in ignorance of this clause for some time, so we have regulations in force that indicate that the institution that's awarding the degree is responsible for that, and that the student must take at least three-fourths of a full-time load at that institution which is awarding the degree. So it would be the responsibility of whichever one was being given.
So there's no administrative problem?
No. In fact, it's taken care of because we didn't know this was here.
Thank you, Derek. Any other one else want to be heard on 362? Okay, we also have something else. A sign language resolution. We took action last year on an identical resolution by Senator Halford. However, there was testimony from the Department of Education that foreign language is not required for graduation in Alaska. And it was doubtful that a university would accept sign language as a substitute where language requirements existed for entry to a university. And it was recommended that a course be offered in sign language as an elective. And that's what this would do, correct?
No, that's how the Senate resolution was changed. There's a copy of the Senate resolution and the House resolution, so you can compare the language changes in the last section.
Well, it's virtually the same thing. All it does is encourage the department to offer sign language courses through public schools and credit them as other language courses. The Department of Education does not offer courses, though. Our language is better because we said stimulate the teaching of sign language courses through public schools.
Hey,
Pardon? Senator?
Where would you start that if they had it in DOE?
Well, as I said, DOE doesn't operate schools.
Elementary, secondary, or?
Well, we're silent about that. My suggestion on this would be to revise this resolution to conform to what we did last year because we had a better idea.
Yeah, I think we got a problem.
Can you do that? All right. Anyone want to be heard on that? Not, we'll move along. Now we come to the smoking bill. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a comment. I'm going to propose a deletion in order to pass the bill.
Which to me?
I suspect that if I may just comment on line 15 and 16, although I'm in full favor of it, I suspect that if we pass the bill with that, with those two lines in, that's page 2. I suspect that if we pass the bill with the language that we have inserted in there, and I was a party to it, and the language is a food service establishment that has a seating capacity of at least 50 persons, I suspect we could lose the whole bill. I don't believe, and speaking rather candidly, I don't believe that we would have the votes in the Senate to get it out of the Senate.
Well, let's wait till Senator.
Okay, but I just thought I would mention if somebody else doesn't do it.
The other item, Senator, is the grocery store item. Senator Fisher has an amendment on that. He reports that that has been cleared with Senator Fahrenkamp, who had some concerns about the legislation. And I know that Senator Ray, who has some concerns, also supports the grocery store amendment. Senator Halper supports the grocery store amendment. He is at the plot of Memorial Circus now.
I don't believe you're going to find the support of both of the other, the present existing line 15 and 16.
You object to the grocery store amendment?
No, I don't object to it. Listen to it. If the votes are there for that, then I got no problem with it.
Of course, on the food service establishment, that can be struck by someone who objects to it, too. If there are 11 votes to strike it, they can do that. I talked to Senator Fahrenkamp today, and she was not determined to have the bill. I can't say that she would decline it or she would not ask for it, but she was not. She was willing to look at it open-minded and then make a decision. I can say that she didn't like the food services tax.
I'd like to see the bill move out of here today, though. And
I would, too.
Then if we want to try to put it back in, we could do it on the floor, which I doubt will happen.
Well, let's see what...
He is
on
his
way. Are we at ease?
Yeah. So let's go back. Senator Fisher, Paul Fisher, the first item is the amendment, which I think is before you, from Senator Victor Fisher on coverage of grocery stores. Can I see that?
I
I should qualify what I said when I said that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee indicated support for language like this, because in speaking to me, he felt that the opportunity should be given to an employee to smoke in an employee's area. I just put that before you. We're discussing the grocery store issue, and as I understand it, well, why don't you proceed, Senator Fisher?
Mr. Chairman, I have a proposed new paragraph 10, which would include grocery stores and other store maintained for retail sale food products exclusively to the public, and having at least 3 checkout counters. I have discussed this with those who have had problems, senators who have had principal problems with the bill. They basically concur. I gather there's some question about whether this covers the entire store. So far as I'm concerned, we want to cover the area where the customers are.
I think we'll have a letter of intent to clarify that. Also, another area is the phrase exclusively to the public would not mean that you could not sell non-food items, I take it. You could sell magazines and so forth.
Well, the word exclusively to the public is to exclude buying clubs or some private operations. Mr. Chairman, I would move inclusion to amendment number whatever to include section 10 grocery store.
A discussion on this motion?
I have a question of interpretation. Actually, a question. Why do you say 3? Why not 5?
I'd be willing to put in 4. I don't know. I was discussing the idea. Somebody drafted it for me and put in 3. There's no magic.
May I suggest? I know numbers may not be magic, but I'm just trying to look at it. I'm talking to big grocery stores, and most of them have a 5-lane checkout. Mm-hmm. I would buy 5. So we're talking your Safeways, the bigger stores. But the little guy still may have the lanes there, even though the business isn't there. And I'm just trying to think. I hate to name stores, but Food Lane, I think, has 5. Didn't know.
At least.
Yeah, so I think 5 would still be, I'd be really more comfortable with 5, and I could go with the amendment if we went 5, because it's a medium-sized store.
Hey, my intent was to deal with a supermarket kind of a store.
Would the maker object to 5?
Mr. Chairman, I accept the change and propose it to 5.
The amendment is amended. Is there further discussion on the amendment as amended?
It was my understanding in discussing this draft with some of the people who worked on it that part of the intention with this inclusion was to eliminate the situation that was discussed in committee the other day, where a small quick stop place would not have to comply with the legislation, but to include generally grocery stores, except 3 lanes was thought to be a way of eliminating the quick stop from the legislation, but at the same time maintaining the necessary public health concerns and food stores in general. By excluding those situations like that described, where the employee has the right to smoke and be sitting there 3 hours lunch.
Mr. Chairman, I think probably 5 would still protect the quick stop. For some reason, when you get around a grocery store, you find very few that have 3 or 4. But by saying 5, it allows the little guy a little bit of expansion. The bigger ones, which I think we're really talking about, they're going to have 5 or 4. I'm sure of that. So that's why I came up with 5, to give some leeway to little 7-Eleven type operations.
There's a family market in my district, in the View area, that I think has 3.
4.
Four.
Which is a small type store short. Four lanes isn't...
That's a pretty size.
It's a pretty size.
Well, would you suggest four? I personally don't care.
I would be more comfortable with four Senator.
Let's try five and, you know...
He's such a nice man.
I knew I should have started at nine, and we could have compromised at five.
You want a lot of coin?
How do you feel?
It's one on three.
Why don't we do it four?
Go with four.
Treat the amendment to the amendment as amended for... Now, the amendment as amended to four checkout counters is before you. Is there a the amendment?
No, can I just, when we talk four, are we talking any four, whether they have four checkout counters, four registers, or four lanes?
It has to be.
Because you can have the four lanes and the four checkout counters without registers.
No, you have to have four.
This is four bona fide. I mean, okay. Obvious.
You can't have two checkout counters and two registers in the same event. Four, okay? All right, without objection, then Senator Victor Fisher's amendment is amended and adopted.
Ms. Chairman?
Yes.
It was pointed out to me on item 8, subsection 8 of 915, page 2, that the law presently permits food service establishments, or provides for food service establishments that have smoking and non-smoking areas. Is that correct?
Permitting.
What difference would 8 make then?
Because if you have more than 50, you must have a non-smoking area.
Is it the other way around, that you must have...
It doesn't matter how you express it.
You prohibit smoking, and then...
Smoking is prohibited in the following places. A food service establishment that has a capacity of at least 50 persons.
Right.
But then, as an exemption, the operator may, under 320, designate a smoking section.
Mr. Chairman, could we have the ease for this morning?
Let's go,
Mr. Chairman. I was trying to figure out how to best deal with the food service establishment having a seating capacity of at least 50 persons. And since the existing law authorizes the establishment of non-smoking areas, I was thinking that one way we might get the various parties closer together was to say that in the case of a food establishment of 50, serving 50, having 50 seats or more, the establishment has to provide a no-smoking area rather than prohibiting smoking and then authorizing the establishment of a smoking area, if everybody follows me.
It's substantively the same thing. I don't know how that would...
It's substantively the same thing, but it sort of turns it around. It puts the burden. It provides for establishment of non-smoking areas rather than establishment of smoking areas, which might be easier for some.
We don't say that one has to be larger or smaller than the other. The smoking area can be 80% of the room or 20% of the room.
I'm playing Daniel Webster, was it?
It's a distinction without a difference. But if you want to...
No, I was thinking of a great compromise.
Oh. That was going to be Clay. Yes.
At times I don't appear to be a political risk, but I am at this particular moment. I do not believe that this bill, with that line 15 and 16 in it, will pass muster at the time comes. Perhaps that is one of the major items in the bill. I realize that. But I'd like to see at least something come out of this thing. And I don't believe that it'll pass muster that particular amendment in. And therefore, I would make a motion that line 15 and 16 be deleted on page 2. Now,
we'll let the chips fall where they may.
Okay.
I'm asking unanimous consent.
Object. All right, the question is, shall we delete the reference to food service establishments with seating capacities of at least 50 persons?
Question. What's the effect? I know I voted no when this was included, when it went to be included. I had a different reason, but the way I read this and actually thinking about it, I actually ended up buying this Section 8. Because the freedom is there, and there's no way that the state can come in and force that person to divide the areas physically. And that was my big concern. I want the private entrepreneur to always have the choice.
Let me say, we will have a letter of intent on the bill, which I'll bring you for approval Monday, but I would intend to say in that, because I know this was concern of Senator Garenkamp and others, that the broad rulemaking authority to the department would not include the authority to implement a provision like that or the provisions on smoking areas by requiring physical ventilation systems or physical dividers. What we're talking about in a restaurant is a smoking area, and we're not opening the door to, this is not my intent to open the door to structural changes in the facility.
Go ahead, Chairman. If my motion fails, I have another motion I'd like to place before the committee, and I think this might be appropriate to discuss it at this time. The motion would be on line 5, page 6, after 18.35.365, and I'll read that whole section there. It says Alaska Statute 18.35.360 is amended to read, regulations. The department shall adopt regulations to implement the provisions of Alaska Statute 18.35.300, 18.35.365, and then my amendment would fall in here. To the extent that no requirements to modify existing structures or purchase new equipment shall be made. This would assure that the department would not be able to require structural changes or equipment purchase as a result of regulations they might promote.
Would that be in lieu of?
Well, the point I'm trying to make is if this doesn't come out over here, I'm going to stick to it. But if it fails in the committee, I want to make that amendment there and make sure that it is in this bill.
I can support that. I might suggest that instead of saying to the extent that is, they accept that. But I would support amendment number 2, not amendment number 1. Senator Fisher?
I was going to say the same thing. I would certainly go along with that, and I would prefer to leave the food service establishment provision.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would prefer to get a vote on that. So,
all right. Very well.
All right. Before we go to the second proposed motion.
The question is on Senator Moss's amendment to strike the reference to food service establishments with capacity of at least 50 persons. Those in favor, raise your hand.
No.
Senator Moss votes in the affirmative. Those opposed? 3 in the negative. Senators Fisher and Christensen.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I propose a motion for an amendment. I would propose that on page 6, line 5, immediately after the underscore 18.35.365, the amendment, to the extent that no requirements modify existing structures or purchase new equipment shall be made. And as I said, for the record, this would assure the department would not be able to require structural changes on equipment purchase as a result of regulations that may promulge it.
Would you accept as a friendly amendment the use of the word accept instead of the phrase to the extent?
Yes.
Okay.
I concur, Mr. Chairman.
Is there objection to that amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Are there any further amendments to this bill?
Chairman, I move we report the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill 84 as amended today with a letter of intent as appropriate.
Chairman, do we need a letter of intent still?
The loss amendment takes care of one item, the structural change.
We talked about the signs being in the presence.
prisons.
Signs being done in prisons. We'll have a short letter of intent. In fact, Nancy, if we could circulate that before Monday's session at 11 o'clock.
You also said today that you wanted to clarify that there would not be a load on smoking areas for employees and food service and grocery store.
That the grocery store provision, an employee at a grocery store could smoke in a place designated for the employee. All right, you've heard Senator Fisher's motion. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. We'll circulate the bill. Now, and we can also circulate.
Just sign this today before it's drafted.
Paul, do you want to sign this?
Yeah.
So we do the other side. Okay, we'll hold out the other matters until next.